Your voice is always with me. Your voice heals me. Your voice lifts me. Your voice guides me through the darkness. Your voice is part of me. Your voice is part of my voice. I hear you in me. Thank you. Thank you, my voice. Thank you, all the beautiful voices. The definition of self-worth, a sense of one's value as a human being. But what builds a person's self-worth? For almost all of us, it starts with the family and friends. They shape us in shape how we see ourselves. When I started thinking about this presentation, I wasn't 100% sure how to approach it. Is that good so far? Okay. Okay. How to approach it. But then I thought about this photo that I'm going to hand out right now. You can just pass it around. Taken in February 1996, this is my family on the day that my mom remarried. 1996 was over 26 years ago now, and four of my loved ones in this photo have passed away. Yet this photo, 26 years old and all, represents my voices. They are my voices that shaped and helped nurture my self-worth. All of you can say the same exact thing. All of you have your own voices in your life that have helped you, that have shaped you. I'd like to say something small about each one of these people in this photo. So as they're being passed around, you'll see who I'm talking about. They all helped to shape me of who I am. Starting from the right, my older brother, Jeff, he's standing, a mechanic who's been battling cancer for over a year now. His voice is with me, as is a memory of him trying to console me as a child. I won't go into specifics about what he was trying to console me about, but I was crying nonstop, and I remember him, his voice just saying, "It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right." That got me through that moment in time. Think about how many times have you had somebody say, "It's going to be all right," and somehow those words make a difference. They do. He was only a teenager at that time when he did this for me, so I was only about maybe 9 or 10. This memory still sticks with me. Next to him are Uncle Dennis and Aunt Betty, who both passed away in 2020. Their voices fill my Christmas memories in those times that they would come out to the country and visit us. They lived in Duluth while we lived out in the country, like outside of Superior, Wisconsin. So I didn't see them too often. Yet their kind voices are always with me. Next to them is my dear grandma, who passed away in 2005. In fact, today is her birthday in heaven. Happy birthday, Grandma. Her farm was only half a mile away from us. She was always with us. We were always working on the farm, fencing, haying, milking, endless chores. But after each day of work, she would always say to us, "Thank you so much for your hard work that you did for me today." Just a thank you means a lot. Many, many beautiful conversations at her kitchen table were had. Her kitchen was filled with memories of beautiful voices. Next to my grandma is the blushing bride on that day in the photo. My mom, way too many memories of her voice to pick through, but just one. She planted flowers throughout the yard, and some days we would start from one corner of the yard and go to the other. Hour after hour, we would just be talking and planting and enjoying it, each minute of it. Like I said, I can't even describe how many conversations I've had with my mom, so that's too long. Next to my mom is Lamont, who passed away in 2010. His deep, loving voice boomed as along with his big laugh. Every time I went up north, I was already living down here for a while. Every time I went up north to visit them, I remember his voice saying, "Good morning, Tony." Every morning I was up there, he would say this. I miss his good mornings. Beautiful conversations I had with him as well. Next to him are my brother, Brian, and his wife, Dorothy. Their kind voices are always with me. So many memories of watching Sunday football with my brother, Brian. We're both long-suffering Viking fans, as some of you may be, too. And lastly, at the end of this photo sits the result of all those voices, me. My self-worth is because of them. Besides them, I'd like to mention two more people that added layers and layers to my self-worth. My best friend, Michelle, who I met when we were 5 years old. We're both 50 years old now. That is 45 years of a friendship. Another one, Pat Lustre, my high school teacher, who I'm still friends with today, and that covers 30 years of a friendship. Both Michelle and Pat impacted my self-worth to no ends and encouraged me every step of the way. I could go on and on about all those friends and now even acquaintances that make a difference to the person you see before you right now. Yet self-worth is a challenge to keep it from faltering. I consider myself very lucky. I had an excellent support system to rely on. Many people don't. There are toxic relationships out there that can damage a person's self-worth to the point they struggle to love themselves. They don't even like looking at their reflection in the mirror. Sometimes the hardest thing we have to do in our lives is to learn to love ourselves, and some never do. My best friend Michelle, I mentioned just a little bit ago, was one of those people who had to cut a major family member out of her life just to save her self-worth. I know you've all known others that had to do this just to save themselves. Michelle overcame a traumatic childhood and became her own person, married with children, and she has her own business. She's happy now, and I'm very glad for that. The thing is, a person can come from lots and lots of love and support and still struggle with self-worth. They struggle with the negative thoughts in their mind, and they have to work hard to practice mindfulness. That is me. That is who I am. I've learned now that depression does not go away 100%. It just doesn't. You learn to manage it. I've learned to manage it. I want to repeat myself here. Sometimes loving yourself is the hardest thing you're going to have to do. For others, even harder. In the end, I know I'm lucky, very, very lucky, to have the loved ones in my life and to have my current friends. They've all made it worth it. Lastly, I'll have time for question two after Edward. Lastly, can we all say together in one voice, I'm worth it? And now, can you turn to somebody sitting next to you and tell them they are worth it? There, doesn't that feel good? Thank you for your time in letting me share. I guess I have time for questions. Oh, Margaret.
I know the writing group hasn't been important to you. Do you want to just,
well,
would you say a word about that?
Yes, it's very, I didn't spend too much time on the current friends because time-wise I didn't know how long I'd have, but that's been very, very positive. In fact, there's Christine Bothan right there, who's one of the, I've known Christine since 2008. And I'm the one that she saw a flyer that I put out for trying to start a creative writing club. And that's how it all started. And then another person joined and she had her own writing club. And now we're kind of just joined forces. There's just about three of us. We're always looking for more people. We've been looking for a long time. So if you know anybody, we don't even care if they write good.
Would you repeat the question when people ask it, okay?
Oh, sure. How often do we meet? We meet about every 2 weeks. Sometimes we just keep in contact with each other. Our work schedules get crazy and such. We always meet at the Acoustic around 11 o'clock. But on which days, I've tried to stick to the weekends, like Saturdays. Yes?
So what you just read, is your creative writing that also sounds very much to me like journaling?
Yeah.
For you, is there a distinction between the two?
Well, creative writing.
Question.
Oh,
yes.
Is there a difference between a journaling and creative writing? My voice is in both of them, but journaling is a little bit more personal. But you can still put your personal voice into creative writing, like the characters I create and such. Yes, that's what, it's been a long time since I've been, Christine is trying to get me back into the groove of things. Thank you, Christine, but it hasn't worked out, but yeah, I've written short stories. I mean, I have like a collection of short stories I've done. I've sent stories to contests and everything. Not to win anything, just for the practice of doing creative writing. Yes, Nikki.
So, Tony, I'm raising two daughters who are very much rule followers. I'm trying to encourage them a little bit of mischief helps build independence and self-worth and, you know, makes them feel efficacious in the world that it's okay to not be perfect. Can you tell a story about a time that you and your brother maybe got into a little mischief or exerted your independence?
That's a little different. I kind of stood back and watched my brothers do their own mischief. And they just kind of showed me what not to do. So it's a little different situation. Me and my best friend Michelle would get into mischief like when we were younger, like going over to grandma's and like hassling the chickens and such. Why would you hassle a chicken? It doesn't need to be hassled. So. But yeah, it's. Otherwise, I'm kind of a rule follower, sort of, but independent at the same time. Yes?
You talked about using mindfulness to
She asked me about mindfulness and how it has helped me through my depression. In 2016, I spent a week at Mayo Clinic dealing with my depression, and they mentioned mindfulness, and I didn't know much about it because, well, they mentioned rumination, and I didn't know what rumination was really until I went there, and suddenly, oh my goodness, I've been doing nothing but rumination, and that can just... That can bring you down to nothing because all you're doing is constantly beating yourself up. So when they showed me about mindfulness, they showed like mindful tricks, like you'd talk to your own mind and say, no, thank you, mind, I'm full, I'm good, I'm going to concentrate on this. And that's what I've tried to do. I have two cats at home, and they've really helped with the mindfulness because I can concentrate on them and such. And then going for walks and helps, being outside, getting the sun and everything, and concentrating on just trying to force the mind to concentrate on what you're doing at that present time and what is around you, because you can't control the past. Whatever mistakes you made in the past, you can't control them, and you can't control the future. You just have to live in the present. And before my week at Mayo Clinic, I wasn't doing that, and I still struggle with that today because we talked about this in the writing club a couple of weeks ago about negative thoughts. Well, where do they come from? I mean, why do some people seem to like they don't have any layer negative thoughts? And for some people, it's just layer on top of layers of negative thoughts. And it's just like that for some people. Think about, you can get 100 compliments, and you'll focus on the 2 insults more on those 100 compliments. And that's just how we're wired. More people are wired that way than others. But I hope that answers your question.
Steve, did you want to add something to that?